Blog Talk Radio.
It's time for Voice of Indie. Your hosts today are Beam Weeks, author, producer, and marketing monster for independent multimedia publisher Fresh Ink Group, and Stephen Jeeves, author, producer, composer, and publisher for Fresh Ink Group.
Happy Wednesday, everybody. It is that time again, time for another episode of the Voice of Indie podcast. This is episode number 180. Can you believe that? I am your host, Beam Weeks, and with me tonight is Mr. Stephen Jeeves, and he will be Jeeves because our guest is also a Stephen, and we don't want any confusion. So how you doing tonight, Jeeves?
Well, you've just confused me, so I'll hang in there, see what I can handle here. I'm having a good week so far. You know, I've not been silent about the fact that I'm a University of Michigan three-time graduate, so the Michigan Wolverines taking it all the way to the national championship this week was a highlight for me. Very cool. And I'm living down here in Alabama where everything's all about University of Alabama and Nick Saban. So I'm happy to report Nick Saban announced his retirement today, which means his last ever college football game is to get beaten by Michigan. So
there you go.
That's a good way for him to go out as far as I'm concerned. And you Alabama fans out there, well, hey, what can I say? Saw a couple of good movies this week, too. I hear you're going to see Wonka tomorrow. Wonka was actually a very good movie. I liked it a lot. I highly recommend it. It's a very heartwarming
tale. Well, that's why I'm going
tale.
To see it. That's
yeah,
your
it's
recommendation.
A heartwarming tale. Timothy Chalamet carries it. And I'm one of those people who didn't like the original Gene Wilder movie. Never did like that movie. Can't say that I've even seen the entire movie. I just thought that it was lame. Gene Wilder played a good character, but I just never liked that movie. But this one, I'm going to recommend. I also saw Night Swim, which is a goofy, horror, scary, suspense thriller with a silly premise. But those can be fun, too. And the camera work in this one is really cool. All the in-the-pool camera work and the sinister evil in the water and all that kind of stuff. So, yeah, good week for college football and for movies. What about you?
What about me? Well, how about it? Well, I dropped this in here. We've got a guest tonight, and we'll get to him shortly. But this guest's book is out now, American Darkness.
Ooh.
Get over to Amazon or Barnes & Noble or wherever you get your books and grab yourself a copy. It is available now. It is poetry and short stories of the dark sort, and it's some really good stuff. So get over there and grab something.
Ooh, what formats would that be available in?
That's in hardcover, soft cover, and all ebook formats. And we've got something else about this over too, don't we?
Yeah. We just finished making the trailer for it last night. I don't know if our guest has even seen it yet, but it's over on YouTube now. So make sure you check that out on the YouTube channel called Fresh Ink Group. And by the way, we've picked up 6 more subscribers to that channel in the last week or so. So I'm going to have to get up and do my little dance my little jig, which we do every time we get a subscriber there. But yeah, check it out. American Darkness by Stephen Skibicki over on YouTube.
Yeah. Listeners, if you want to participate in tonight's episode, you want to call in with a question or share your question on X, here's how you can do that.
Call 516-453-9902 right now and join us on air or tweet us with the hashtag Fresh Ink Group in the body and we'll read your comment or question live. That's 516-453-9902 or hashtag Fresh Ink Group.
Yeah, now we also built a website for tonight's guest, which is going to go live sometime in the next couple of days. So check back with us next week. We'll give you the info for that and make sure you check our newsletter, which you're going to learn how to subscribe to here shortly, because we'll give you all the information about his website there, too. We also have another new book out. This is from Robert G. Willis Croft. This is RAN, A Civilization in Hiding. It is out now in hardcover, softcover, all ebook formats, and we are starting production on the sound and sound effects enhanced audiobook with voiceover master Trenton Bennett. Going to be doing the voiceover for that one. So RAN, A Civilization in Hiding by Robert G. Willis Croft is out now.
Yeah. And also out now is Edge of Smoke by Carlisle Toms. This is a sequel to his first novel, The Calling Dream. So if you've read that and you liked it, here comes the sequel. Got some characters that kind of carry over. If you listened to him here a couple weeks ago, he told you a little bit about that. But Edge of Smoke by Carlisle Toms is out now, available wherever you buy books.
All right. We've also got another book that's in pre-sale right now. This one's by Gwen M. Plano. This is one of two books by her we've published in the past couple of months. Her book's going to be released in mid-January, but you can go order your copies now, and then they'll be shipped to you in mid-January. That's The Soul Whisperer's Decision by Gwen M. Plano.
Yeah, and the other book that Mr. G's just mentioned was Gwen Plano's The Gift, and that is part of the Harbor Point series and Harmony Kent. She's got a book in that series as well. I think there's eight of them there, and tonight we're going to run commercials for both of those books, The Gift and Harmony Kent's The Room at the End, so... those are both available. Get over there to they're ebooks only, Kindles only. So get over there and actually, I think some of them have some paperbacks. But get over to Amazon and check them out. And as Mr. G's just mentioned a little while ago, we've got a newsletter, and if you're not subscribed to it, we're sending Guido to your front door, and we're going to find out why. But for those of you who want to sign up before Guido's visit, here's how you do that.
Stay on top of these podcasts and all things Fresh Inquiry with our weekly digital newsletter. New releases, videos, stories, excerpts, interviews, and more. Sign up now on the homepage of freshinkgroup.com and be the one who knows what's what.
What? All right. So, audiobook, The King's Ransom. Tales and Legends. This audiobook is finished except for some final production stuff, and I'm still waiting on Ethan Drew, the voiceover actor, to get me that stuff. He was supposed to have it a day or two ago, and I'm still waiting, but he's a professional. He's going to get this stuff to me when it's good and ready, so keep your eyes and ears on the letter, because this was a fun book. I love doing these audiobooks, love working with the talents and then adding the sound effects and all this good stuff. So The King's Ransom, Tales and Legends by Cheryl Carpinello. Audiobook.
Well, I'm really looking forward to that.
I am too.
Here's the point in the show where I usually count down the top 25 print bestsellers from Fresh Ink Group, but the website is undergoing maintenance, so I can't look at the live list right now. So all I've got is the top five from last night. So, covering the top five from last night, in the number five slot, Sassy Discovers the AME Church, and that's by B.A. Johnson. That's the first of two books in her Sassy series so far. We're looking for a third one of these days. And this is illustrated chapter books for children, and it's about a character named Sassy, and she learns about her AME Church. So, Sassy Discovers the AME Church is in our number five slot for print bestsellers this week. Number four, How to Start and Run Your Own Food Truck Business in, what state do you think, Beam?
Florida.
Florida it is. How to Start and Run Your Own Food Truck Business in Florida is our number four print bestseller this week, and that's the hardcover edition. So these food truck books are definitely outselling the soft covers with the hards. Number three, Gwen M. Plano, The Soul Whisperer's Decision. That's her new thriller. And it's not even out till mid-January, so it's already up to number three print bestseller here. So lots of orders are coming in. That's a great sign. So that gets us to our top two. David Carroll, I Won't Be Your Escape Goat. David Carroll's Homemade Social Media Blunders is in our number two slot. That book is really going like gangbusters. He's having a lot of fun with it. You know, David Carroll orders books because he's an NBC newscaster, and he's got his own radio show and his own newspaper column, and he's basically everybody in Chattanooga knows the guy, and everybody wants to be friends with him, and everybody invites him to come speak at their events and functions and stuff, and he always takes boxes of books with him and sells them after the show, and sometimes brings in thousands of dollars. after just making, you know, a brief little appearance at the Rotary Club or some church function or something like that. When he orders author copies of his books, I have to get a permit from his community in Tennessee to allow an 18-wheeler to go into his neighborhood and park in front of his house and use a hand truck to cart those books up his driveway into his three-car garage where he stores them. He orders that many books, and yet he's had two functions in the past week or two where he was out of copies of I Won't Be Your Scapegoat because they are buying them so fast he can't keep up with them. So good for you, David Carroll. You're in our number two slot this week, and that gets us down to what's in the number one slot? You care to guess, Beam?
It's that book about piranhas?
Yeah, that's what it is. Steel Piranhas, Under the Sea, Submariner, 30 Years of Hijinks, and Keeping the Fleet Afloat by retired U.S. Navy Lieutenant Commander Jerry Pate. Congratulations, Jerry. You're in our number one slot again this week. Woo-hoo. Submariner, 30 Years of Hijinks. Everybody get out there and check it out.
Yeah. All right. Hey, everybody. I know some people can't listen live on a Wednesday night, and so you listen at later times, and we've got an archive. If you've got a favorite episode that you want to listen to over and over again, it's in the archive. If you've got an episode that you listen regularly, but there was that one Sunday night that you had the bowling league, well, we've got it in the archive if you missed one. And here's how you can find our archive.
Find your favorite show in the Voice of Indy archives on YouTube at Fresh Ink Group, StephenGees.com, BeamWeeks.com, FreshInkGroup.com, and on Spotify. And now, you can listen on iHeartRadio, Google Podcasts, and TuneIn. Just search The Voice of Indy, all one word. In an innocent 1958 American suburb, Shelley doesn't know the power of a kiss or how it will change her entire life. At 16 years old, she falls in love with a young man. One night, just one night, they go too far. Months later, pregnant and shamed, Shelley's parents banish her. Alone and heavily pregnant, circumstances force Shelley to cross the country in an old pickup. A mistaken turn leaves her lost in a forest amidst a severe snowstorm and in labor. In the dark of night, Shelley must get help for her newborn baby before they both perish. A light in the distance gives her the slimmest glimmer of hope. After Shelley wraps the infant in her father's old jacket, she trudges through the snow to a lighthouse keeper's cottage. Snow half buries the squat stone building. Will Shelley find shelter, or is it the beginning of the end? Read The Gift by Gwen M. Plano, published by Fresh Ink Group, exclusively on Amazon Kindle.
When guilt-ridden Mia checks into a suicide hotel but can't go through with a final act, vengeful ghosts gather to torment her. Set in the near future, the post-war world is in turmoil. Mia Hawthorne suffers an emotional breakdown following the death of her wife and loses everything to a corrupt government. In an ironic twist of fate, the government's suicide department, the Last Sanctuary, allocates a desperate and destitute Mia to the very hotel and family heirloom which she has so recently lost. On her first day at the Lighthouse Inn, beset with painful memories, doubts, and questions, Mia finds herself coming face to face with angry ghosts who gather to goad and torment her. Lost and alone, can Mia find enough strength and purpose to avoid her final, frightful fate? Read The Room at the End, Harbor Point Series Book 8 by best-selling author Harmony Kent, exclusively on Amazon Kindle.
Ooh, good series. As being mentioned, there's 8 books in that series by 8 different authors, all from Story Empire. And we're proud to be associated with a couple of those stories. So check them out. We see over on Twitter that Verwaine Greenhoe has helpfully posted a link to the book trailer for tonight's guest, American Darkness by Stephen Skibicki. So if you want to go watch that, we'll wait. Go ahead. All right, now, just after the show would be cool. So let's meet tonight's guest. Stephen Skibicki is a 31-year-old Messianic Hebrew man from New Hampshire. He has been writing since the age of 12. A staunch mental health advocate, he has been diagnosed bipolar and is dealing with PTSD, but he's chosen a different way forward. He lives in South Texas near the Gulf Coast. Boy, writing since the age of 12. I learned to write a little bit younger than that, didn't you, Beam?
I did, too.
Yeah. All right. Welcome to the show, Stephen.
Welcome.
Hey, I'm happy to be here.
All right.
So how about tell us, you live in Texas now. Have you always lived there, or you come from somewhere else, and where all have you lived?
I was originally born up in New Hampshire.
New Hampshire.
Did you grow
and
up
I was there for 14 years, and then I lived in East Tennessee, and then I just came down to Amarillo and eventually settled down here next to the Gulf Coast.
So what moved you around? Was it work or a sense of adventure?
Honestly, I had a single mom growing up, so she just kind of went where there was family and opportunities.
Ah, okay.
You see yourself staying where you are now long term, or are you feeling restless already?
Well, it wasn't that long ago that I was working up in Wisconsin at Fort McCoy with Afghani refugees, so I think I'm content for right now.
All right, so what kind of a kid were you growing up in New Hampshire and other places beyond that? Were you into reading and writing? You started writing at 12, and I joked about it earlier. I assume you started writing stories and poems and things like that at age 12. Were you interested in before then, or did something happen at 12 that just turned a light on and made you get real interested? What's the story behind your interest there?
Well, I mean, I did actually, start reading classics. A lot of other kids, got Harry Potter or the Pendragon series, and I got Victor Hugo.
Ooh. And you managed to make me feel old in that same answer at the same time. The other kids were getting Harry Potter. Okay.
I mean, I also got my hands on Emerson, learned some things about self-reliance and whatnot.
That's cool.
But the real thing that made it kick off to be writing and everything else was the recommendation of an English teacher. She could notice that I was struggling with some things at the time, and she said that poetry or, writing short stories was a great way in order to be able to, channel all that mental energy and be better.
Oh, there's no doubt about that. Did this teacher get you interested in pursuing more education in writing and English and stuff like that?
Unfortunately, no. I actually moved away at the age of 14. And then I was down there in Northeast Tennessee, Bulls Gap, Rogersville, Cherokee Comprehensive High School. And my mother actually got sick, so I had to drop out, get a job, and that's when I went over to Amarillo, Texas, to try to help take care of her, because I was staying with my aunt to try to finish out school, but life is what it is,
Do you think you'll go back to school?
I did, actually. I went back. I got my GED. I started pursuing a degree in computer science and stuff like that, because that has also always interests me. I was going to try to get a major in English at some point as well.
Okay. Now, just a little while ago, you mentioned being up in Wisconsin and working with Afghan refugees. So how did that come about, and what was that like?
That was very interesting. My aunt was not doing very well. She actually passed away because of lung cancer. And me and my two cousins actually just saw an ad on Facebook, and at first we weren't really sure what to make of it. And then, we got in touch with the office for a company called USA Upstar, and we went out there and did a job and got them accustomed to living in the United States.
So what did that all entail? How did you just do it? Kind of teaching them the customs, the culture, or what?
Well, there was actually a lot of different departments. We focused more on sanitation, teaching them healthy habits, and, you know, making sure that diseases were reported and stuff like that. But there were other departments in the company that focused in on education, getting them up to snuff, making sure that they had a proper reading level. And, yeah, there were also some other departments that focused in on American culture and adjustment to life, you know, in terms of work and going to school for the kids.
So did you, like, make friends with these people, or you keep in touch maybe and find out, you know, how they're doing these days? Or was it just the job was done and you went back home?
Unfortunately, they limited us to what interactions we had there on base is what we could have.
Okay.
Wow. Interesting. So what other kind of jobs have you held?
Well, I have operated my own pressure washing, remodeling business that was right over there, and basically the Louisiana line in Orange County, Texas. I had liquidated that because my mother had leukemia. As I don't know how many people know this, but cancer is pretty expensive.
Yes.
Yeah, I lost my little brother to leukemia.
Yeah.
All right.
We're going to take a break and run a couple of commercials here. In the meantime, we're talking to Stephen Skibicki, and if anybody wants to call in with a question or comment, 516-453-9902.
All right.
Dave Hooker here, longtime Tennessee sports writer, and I know that true Tennessee fans are celebrating the 25th anniversary of the legendary 1998 Tennessee Volunteers Championship season. Tell you what, you celebrate 98, I try to bring the full-color photos and detail of the transfer of power from Peyton Manning to Al Wilson, the preparation to win the first BCS National Championship, the locker room dynamics, and the challenges of a team rising above deep tragedy. Key plays include interception, a fumble maybe against Arkansas, and a bit of trickeration. Also, there's that Florida game. I analyze the leadership, the strategies, and the players' commitment to each other and share what we are still learning from this team even today. Discover what happened to those heroes of the gridiron and where they are now. Proudly published by the Fresh Ink Group, Celebrate 98 is available in all the digital forms, but you can also get your own soft cover or jacketed hardcover keepsake edition from booksellers worldwide. Want an autographed edition? Go to offthehooksports.com. That's offthehooksports.com, and I'll personalize it for you. Celebrate 98 is a collector's item and a cherished gift that belongs to all fans of college football and the Tennessee Volunteers.
In the Pruitt-Igo slums of St. Louis in the 1960s, a heroin addict mother breaks her son's dolls and screams, "You are not a girl." However, no one can convince Stephanie to live as Stephen. Her mother pimps her out to a man who rapes and takes pictures of her. After finding her mother brutally murdered, she is placed in Christian foster care, where they also try to convince her to accept being male. Her mother's lover is sentenced to life in prison for the murder. Author of widely praised The Calling Dream, Carlisle Toms brings back famed televangelist Pastor Ronald Dennison in this unflinching sequel, Edge of Smoke. Dennison sets up a trust that allows a compassionate old neighbor to adopt Stephanie out of foster care. Still, she is violently bullied at school for identifying as female. The trust pays for transition surgery at 18, and she begins to live fully as a woman. Frightened by men, she remains a virgin until she falls in love with Jordan. But she runs into the man who abused her and remembers her childhood pledge to kill him. Will her lust for murdering the man who brutalized her as a child cause her to lose the man she loves? Proudly published by Fresh Ink Group, The Calling Dream, and now, Edge of Smoke, can be found anywhere and shipped everywhere in jacketed hardcover and softcover editions, or downloaded in all ebook formats. Edge of Smoke by Carlisle Toms.
All right, and I am hard at work on the video for that one, and that one should be done here within the next day or two, but keep your eyes and ears peeled for that. We're going to promote this all over Twitter, so and Facebook and whatnot. Okay, I think right now is a pretty good time to go over to Twitter. Dr. Helen Burrell has a question over here for tonight's guest, Stephen Skibicki. She says, Mr. Skibicki, this is a two-pronged question. How does your devotion as a Messianic Hebrew contribute to number one, your creativity, and number two, to living with a bipolar condition?
That is an excellent question.
Two prongs.
Two prongs.
Well, to go off of the very first one, I would say that my devotion to being a Messianic Hebrew is very fundamental for me to persevere in all the writing that I have done.
Okay.
As it is a beacon of hope. Sorry, I was messing with my phone right here. It is a beacon of hope that helps, you know, drive away the darkness. And as a result, some of that is actually in the book American Darkness itself. And what was the second part of the question?
The second part of the question was, how does your devotion as a Messianic Hebrew contribute to your living with a bipolar condition?
Well, it's all about that hope. That's really all I can say about that.
Okay, well, okay. I understand that. I understand that. All right. Thank you, Dr. Helen, as usual.
Yeah.
We're always coming up with a good question. Now, Stephen, when you're not working, when you're not writing, how do you like to spend your time? Do you have any hobbies, interests?
Oh, yeah. I actually have a lot of different hobbies and interests. Like sometimes I get bored and I just start cooking things. I'll throw things together in a kitchen, whip it up. I've been known to go and do woodworking. I like to fish. I like to spend time out in nature, or sometimes just, you know, sit down, listen to music and really unwind and kind of decipher the lyrics, if you will. Dive into the deeper meaning of the song.
Yeah, like Papatus
of
Love.
Yeah. Now, what kind of music are we talking about here?
Well,
we're music connoisseurs on this show.
It's a pretty broad spectrum. Like one of my favorite songs is Candyman, Sammy Davis.
Sammy Davis Jr. All right.
Okay.
And, you know, I also listen to things like Five Finger Death Punch, Hollywood Undead, Frank Sinatra. I'm really all over the board, I guess is what I'm trying to say. There was actually a line in a song from Hollywood Undead that said, every song is a lifespan. And that's kind of a lyric that's always spoken to me.
Yeah.
Cool.
Well, how about the fishing? What kind of fishing do you do?
It's mainly been freshwater in the last couple of years, although sometimes, you know, since I'm right here at the Gulf, doesn't hurt to go and get a 3-day pass for saltwater and see what I can dredge up.
Hmm. All right.
What have you dredged up? Anything impressive?
Not really, no. Most of the time, I end my time on the pier shortly. I go and either rent a crab trap, or I've already brought one, and I get gumbo crabs.
Okay.
Gumbo crabs.
Yeah,
right.
Those are good crabs, too. All right, so, Beam, why don't we play the commercial for American Darkness now, and then we'll see what this book is about.
All right.
Welcome to American Darkness by Stephen Skibicki. Darkness is where you can explore the mysterious fires of Yellowstone National Park. Be awestruck by the sheer power of a God in yellow whose very breath lays out the cosmos with his maddening glow. Recall what it's like to be there for a friend, even if that friend is hiding something insidiously infectious. Explore the poetry and short stories out of a manic, depressive mind set to entertain and also remind you that there's a way out of the darkness. Sometimes you just have to be like our local sin eater, Tucker, and say, enough is enough. So come on in and dive into American Darkness by Stephen Skibicki, proudly published by Fresh Ink Group. American Darkness by Stephen Skibicki is available in jacketed hardcover, softcover, and all ebooks.
All right. So I'm going to jump over here to incidentally, you can check the video out on YouTube. I'm going to jump over here to Twitter real quick. There's a comment here from Verwayne Greenho that ties into a lot of what we've been talking about. Verwayne says, the hardest person in the world is yourself. I found that once I liked myself, my world was a much happier place. I agree with that, Verwayne.
And we like you too, Verwayne.
Yeah, we do. Verwayne is one of our loyal listeners, and not just that, he's a good friend. So he and his wife, Lisa, good people. Now, where are we going to move here?
What's the book about?
Yeah, all right. American Darkness. I've been through this book, and there's some the poetry especially, man, is fantastic. How did this come about, Stephen? Did you start writing it with the idea of putting this out as a book, or are these a collection of poems you've written over the years? How did it come about? And what is it about?
Well, it all started off with a lot of people actually telling me that I needed to write a book, and for a number of years I kind of put it off. And I had long since, you know, dealt with, you know, my mental illness through poetry and stuff like that, which, funnily enough, going back to the two-pronged question that was asked, I feel like I gave an unsatisfactory answer, but really the book came about, even though it has some dark themes in it, around that word hope. If you're waking up today and you're still breathing, you still got you can walk, you can do all the things you need to do, there's still hope. And
yeah.
Ultimately what the book is about is, even though we might go through those dark things, that there's always a way to break the cycle and get away from it.
I agree. That's kind of a thing that the waking up every day. I learned this years ago to be thankful when my eyes open in the morning. You've got another day. Some people didn't make it through the night. Let's move this along. What is this about? What is American Darkness about?
Well, American Darkness. I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Well, American Darkness is really just that. You know, it starts off right in the beginning of the book on a poem called The Manic Depressive Mind. And then through there, it jumps through a lot of different subjects. And might I also say that something that some people have missed, but other people have chosen to comment on, is there's actually a lot of there's a lot of philosophy and a lot of religious hope symbolism in a lot of these that may go missed if you're not paying attention. Because the things that I write, I try to incorporate layers so that, you know, every time you read it, you get something else from it. But I digress. It's about, you know, even though you might find yourself in a dark place and you might think that you can't go on, that there's a reason to hope that you can. That you can go and you can pick up a cause and you can be better than what you thought you could be, what maybe people in your life have told you you could be.
Hmm. So okay. It's a mix of poetry and short stories?
Yes. It is a mix of poetry and short stories, and both sections actually follow a similar format. It all starts off, it's more clearly cut in the short story section than it is the poetry section. But in the short story section, there's a story called Avarice Incorporated. And it's Groundhog Day meets horror. The main character goes and he lives this life, and he receives a mysterious book in the mail. And anything he writes in it, he gets. But it's got to subtract from the haves of others. And being the kind of person he is, he can't live with that. However, because it's a Groundhog Day sort of thing, he forgets the next time he gets the book. And it's a cycle that just keeps going and going. Conversely, with the last story in American Darkness, you have Tucker, who's a sin eater, who says, no, I've had enough of eating your sins.
Yeah, I rather enjoyed these things, and I picked up on a lot of the religious aspects of these things, some of the in the poems and in the short stories, and truly enjoyed it too. So.
Do you have it handy, Stephen? Can you read us a poem?
Ooh,
I certainly can. Tell me, did you have one in mind?
I like the tongue, but I like them all.
All right, let me go ahead and get over here, and I will go ahead and get it pulled up.
We could run a commercial real quick while you're pulling that up and be ready when we get back.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, and let's do that.
I'm David Carroll, and I'm proud of my recent books, Chattanooga Radio and Television, Volunteer Bama Dog, and Hello Chattanooga, famous people who have visited the Tennessee Valley. Like many folks, I spend too much time on social media, but I put that time to good use. For years, I've been collecting social media misspellings, misinterpretations, and other mishaps, from tweets, text messages, even the signs you see at stores and on the highways. I've collected the funniest foul-ups in my latest book, I Won't Be Your Escape Goat, David Carroll's homemade social media blunders. I top them off with my own snarky comments, and they're illustrated by a talented artist, my friend Mike Salter. There are a lot of laugh-out-loud moments in the book, more than 400 of them. We all make mistakes, and sure, you can blame it on spell check, but maybe, just maybe, we didn't pay enough attention in English class. Either way, this book will bring a smile to your face or to the face of someone you love. We can all agree what the world needs now is laughter, and lots of it. I Won't Be Your Escape Goat, proudly published by Fresh Ink Group, in softcover, jacketed hardcover, and all ebook formats.
Yeah. Funny book.
All right. We're talking funny, to funny Stephen book. Skibicki, poet and story writer, and it's not too late to call in if you want to make a comment, hurl some wicked accusations, or just ask a question. 516-453-9902. So
yeah.
Stephen's about to read us one of his poems from American Darkness.
Absolutely. I've got it pulled up now. And the one that I'm going to go with is You're Not Alone.
All right.
A heart breaking under a chisel like quarried stone, crumbling like a sandcastle cut under the next wave. Petrified by a gaze of Medusa as you stare off into the abyss alone, its black web grabbing and tarnishing your brilliant flame. Droplets from the eyes flowing like rivers through the mountain pass, crashing like meteors into the atmosphere with the eruption of fire, consumed by the threads of smoke weaving rage fastidious, smoldering charcoal and cinders popping the glowing orange ire. Standing like an oak atop the desiccated sand perch of a mound, looking at the barren graying field of dust-filled emptiness, shivering under the shrill, bitter wind lacerating with its sound, plunging deep like a diver into the frozen sea, railing yourself with a nail-studded whip over-analyzed sins, ripping out your wrongdoing one flay at a time, trying to atone. Kick your legs into a sprint, my most beloved akin. Grab tight. You're not alone.
Wow.
Very visual.
Yeah. So what's the image that goes with that?
The image that goes with that is a shield bearer staring out at a forest that is on fire. There is a rim of fire around the shield from somebody having broken through.
Okay.
Well, tell us about all the images in this book. Where did they come from? What's the story behind those?
Well, all the images in the book, because I made a silly decision once upon a time that I can't really draw anymore. So I used an AI generative software to be able to render images of exactly what I wanted. They're all derived out of lines of poetry that I have in each one.
So
yeah.
how did you generate them? What did you use? An online thing, or you got some software, or what?
Yes, I used an online thing. The online service that I use is called, let me pull it up here. This won't take as long.
Did you find it easy to use? Were you happy with the result?
I found it pretty easy to use. I mean, honestly, I can't complain about the results. Now, I will say that as far as typing in what you want to see and stuff like that, that's one thing, although it may take quite a bit of work to get the exact image of what you pictured inside of your mind.
Yeah, I've worked with some of those, and it's weird. You want this person standing next to a bike or whatever, and there's three arms on this person. It's like, what?
And it's called Midjourney.
Midjourney, okay.
And that's free?
It is not free. You actually have to pay for it. However, the paid subscription also gives you commercial licensing. So all the images that, you know, I created belong to me forever.
Yeah, there's some interesting images in there, too. You say these come from lines in the poems. They have, like, this otherworldly vibe on them, and that's what I think makes them so cool.
Did you have a particular image for a poem that you thought was really good? I can tell you what line it actually came from.
Well, I don't have them opened here at the moment.
About the tongue.
Yeah, let's go and do that one.
All right. You did say you liked that one.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so I will go up here and... The tongue there we go.
Looks like a kind of a green person with a lizard nose and weird stuff in the mouth. It's just a strange image.
It's Maleficent forked tongue. It's Maleficent forked dripping venom set with sights ready to ensnare. That's the exact line that came out of.
Oh, okay. Huh.
Cool.
It's Maleficent, forked, dripping venom, set with sights ready to ensnare. Okay. So would you do this again? I mean, would you go there to source your images on your next project?
I mean, if I absolutely had to, didn't have any other choice, yeah, it's...
Well, that's a rousing endorsement. if I was dying and it was the only way I could get a breath of air, okay. Did you learn anything from the experience? You got any advice on how to use AI to generate images?
Really the best advice that I can give for AI images that you want to see to illustrate something more clearly to your audience or something like that is, no, if it's like a poem or something like that, don't be afraid to play with the lines in order to see what you want to see. Have an open mind in order to get the end result that you want.
Did you ever get like an end result that wasn't exactly what you wanted, but maybe you looked at it and said, hey, this is actually kind of better than what I wanted?
Yes, actually, funnily enough, it's for the poem that's after the tongue. It's Will of Fire. The way that that turned out was not exactly what I wanted, but how it's set up actually turned out way better than what I was shooting for.
That's cool. Did any of the images you wind up with encourage you to go back and make any changes in the story or poem that it's going to go with?
That I can say no. It did not do that. A lot of my poems were set in stone. Now, I mean, before I actually started really doing the images for them, I definitely ran back through and changed up my vocabulary and everything else until it sat exactly how I wanted.
With all these poems and all that, how far back do some of these go? I mean, are these in more recent times, or have you been writing these for many, many years?
All of these poems actually extend all the way back to 2018, which was shortly after my mother had passed away.
Okay, so about 6 years then, going on 6 years. All right.
So let's talk about some of the short stories. For example, Adoption. It's got an image with it that looks like a fairly realistic image of some koi fish. What is the story Adoption about?
The story Adoption is about a man that has gone through some terrible things in his life. His ex-wife left him. He served overseas, and he's got battle scars to accompany, you know, for any kind of story that he might have to tell about that time. And he served in Japan for a couple of tours, and he found a fascination with koi fish that was reignited by a friend that owned a pet store. Except this particular koi fish that he had chosen to buy is actually a water elemental, Dryad, who has a little bit more than just the casual affection for him.
Okay, I'm going to jump over here on Twitter. Robert McKenzie has joined the conversation, and he's got a question. He says, Stephen, have you used a photo or image to AI generate a poem or story?
I have not. All these are strictly generated off of my words.
Generated from your brain. Yeah, because that's the thing about this AI stuff is that people are starting to use that to, you know, they'll put in an outline and let it write their stories for them, and you're not writing a story then when you do that. I don't think that that's cool at all. I mean, it's, who knows where some of these lines are coming from. It could be coming from books that are being picked up by the AI.
True. There's a lot of gray area with all of that, presently speaking, with legislation and all of that. But all of my poems
are
unique.
All right, cool. Good to hear that. All right. I'll throw one more comment out here from Twitter as well. Verwayne Greenho, he said, I think Stephen and I have a lot in common. I've been down the path he's walking. Yeah, Verwayne's got some interesting stories, and he's an interesting guy. So you might want to say hi to him over there on Twitter. And that's another thing. When you get done here, Stephen, go over to Twitter and use the hashtag Fresh Ink Group, and you can give a shout-out to those people that are commenting tonight as well. Hashtag Fresh Ink Group. And click on the latest.
Gotcha.
And you'll see that.
So there's still some
based
of
the –
Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, based on what Weeks had shared from him earlier, he sounds like a pretty wise individual.
Oh, yes, he is.
Yeah, it's all a front, but, you know, we play along with it. So, but I haven't read all of the stories in this book yet. I'm still working on it, and I'm curious, what is the God in Yellow about? That's a cool image.
The God in Yellow, actually, okay, so you remember how I said that I got started off with some more classical books?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Okay, so I actually got started, like, something that really piqued my interest was The King in Yellow, which is back from the 1800s. A collection of short stories about a play that drives you mad.
So what's this about?
This is kind of a play on that, really. It's a lot of different artists over the years have used The King in Yellow and their books and stuff like that as a point of reference for a great old one, for instance, H.P. Lovecraft.
Okay,
and
cool.
There's not really a whole lot about them, so I actually wanted to take the character and develop them into what they appear to be in the story, which is a god that is bent on spreading chaos and madness everywhere.
Cool.
So,
chaos and madness.
So what happens in this story? Chaos and madness?
Well, kind of, yeah. I mean, it definitely plays on the cycles, except for this particular story, the individual that's going through the cycles is outside of it. He picks up this man that he has do his bidding. So not only is he getting chaos and madness out of the worlds that this man sets forth to tell him to create, but he's also getting it out of the man himself. And he goes through this after a near-death experience running on down the road where he gets shot. And eventually, he wakes up in a hospital. At first, everything seems like he's in the clear. You know, he's escaped this world, this god in yellow, with his far-reaching madness that can infect everything and collect souls that are rising in it. And he goes and he tries to seek religious help, only to be met with the god Yellow again. And it ends with him having a discussion with his son.
All right,
well, we're talking to Stephen Skibicki. Still a little bit of time to call in, 516-453-9902. We're going to go ahead and roll a commercial now. We'll be back to talk about American Darkness with Stephen Skibicki.
Dexter Jones is a military veteran suffering from PTSD. He has flashbacks he can't quite explain. There are gaps in his memory. Is it the result of his head trauma, or is it the CIA running a program on him? Now a hired gun tasked to eliminate drug traffickers, Dex finds himself in Colombia wearing military fatigues and fully armed, but answering by name he's never heard. He sets off for an intercontinental mission to uncover the truth, even as assassinations and betrayal at the highest levels of government threaten to destabilize the world. Maybe it's not who Dex is so much as who he might still become. Now in jacketed hardcover, softcover, and all ebook formats. Village Boss by Ronan Duvall is proudly published by Fresh Ink.
All right. That's out there and available now at wherever you buy books. Stephen, tell us a little bit about your writing process. I mean, how do these come about? Do you, for like the short stories, do you outline them or you just sit down and start writing? And same way with the poetry. I mean, how do you come up with these? Do you just sit down and as the lines come to you, jot them down, or do you visualize these things? How does that work?
Well, the poetry is a little bit different than the short stories. I mean, poetry is, you know, bits and pieces out of my own life that I've, you know, turned into an art. The short stories, on the other hand, I just tend to sit down and write organically.
Okay.
And so to expand more on the poems, it's not that it isn't organic. I start writing whatever's in my mind at that time, and then I follow through. And wherever I feel like it ends, it ends.
Hmm. All right. Do you write every day? Stephen?
Yes, I'm still here. I'm sorry.
Do you write every day? Is you know, are you steadily at this, or is this an occasional thing, more like a hobby?
This is a lot more steady than it used to be. Although between work and everything else, it's more of when I have time.
I understand that.
I have the God in Yellow in this book, and I'm actually expanding that out into its own little universe.
Cool.
Oh, that'll be cool. Definitely.
It will be the universe in yellow. Likewise, I'm doing the same thing with Avarice Incorporated. There will be some differences.
Well, what's Avarice Incorporated about?
Avarice Incorporated is, it's about a man that gets a book in the mail that he didn't order. He calls, and it's a book that gives him whatever he wants. And whatever he wants that he writes down, he gets. But it causes great consequences for somebody else that has it. Because...
Yeah, it's the one you talked about a little while ago. Yeah, I remember that story. That was one of my favorites, actually.
It operates on the means of equivalent exchange. In the world of Avarice, they're not gods. They're fallen angels that offer services to these people. Now, they may not remember hide nor hair where they ran across them, but it happened. And whatever object that they have gives them a certain ability. In Avarice Incorporated, it's a book that whatever you write down comes to life.
Huh. All right. Well, we have a caller on the line here. You guys want to take a call?
Go for it.
I recognize this number. I believe this is Mr. Verwayne Greenhill calling from the armpit of Florida. How you doing, Verwayne?
Not too bad, sir. Not too bad. It's kind of cool here, but...
Everywhere.
We're going to get down to about 35 again tonight, so...
I don't even think we hit a high of 35
I'm
today.
Working... Yeah. A friend of mine just called me from Greenville, and he's going... It is a pure whiteout here right now. He says you can't see anything. So,
yeah.
Oh.
But that's why I'm down here and they're up there. So I don't need any more exercise shoveling snow.
Yeah. So what's your comment?
How do you
question?
Like the? I'm just wondering how the public has taken his series of short stories like that and going through there. Are you? I'm looking at doing a series of 3 to 10,000 word short stories like that, and I'm just curious if that was working for you.
Well, some of the feedback that I've managed to be able to get, keep in mind I'm still in my infancy for authorship, has been really positive. They really like the idea of the short stories coming together to make a big one.
I've been working on a series of short romance stories, and that's been doing quite well for me. And I've been thinking about, do I want to put them together all in one big thing, or just put them out, you know, singly, and then see how they do.
If you want honest opinion, I would say shoot to go ahead and put them all together.
Yeah.
So it's like...
Okay.
It's an anthology of romance.
Yep. Yeah. I've got 2 short story collections out there, and they seem to do pretty good. So, you know, there are people that's what they do. They buy I've got a bunch of short story collections of other people's that I've bought over the years that I really enjoy. I still go back and pick them up and open to one of my favorites and read a few lines.
But I like that idea, and that's probably where I'm going to go with my romance stories, put them all out in one book, in one 50 to 75,000 word book. So I'm just curious how it was working for you.
I gotcha. I mean,
he is a new author with a new book that's only been out a couple of days.
Yeah.
So not much track record.
Yeah, it
yet.
Took me a minute to find. Took me a minute to find the book and to find the trailer. I've never had that much trouble finding a trailer before, but I found you. So I just typed in your full name, Stephen, first and last name, and bang, then I finally found it. I was looking it up improperly. So. I'm going to buy a copy of your short stories and see how it works.
All right.
Cool.
I'll do that.
Be sure to write a review.
Yeah.
With
five
I certainly
stars.
Will. So. Amen. If it's there, it's there.
It's there, yeah.
Yep.
All right, well,
I appreciate your time, sir.
Thanks for calling in, Verwain.
Yeah, thanks for calling in. And let us know when you get your collection together, and we will help promote that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Happy to hear
Thank
from
you.
You. I'm glad I could help.
All right. We're talking
to Stephen. Take care.
Stephen Skibicki, author of American Darkness, a collection of poems and short stories. Now, Stephen, we know that once you came to Fresh Ink Group, started working with us, Beam was your editor. For your final draft of the book, did you work with anybody else? Did you have any beta readers or other people giving you advice or anybody looking at your work along the way?
The people that were looking at my work and everything else were my best friend. That was pretty much it. It was just me and Weeks.
Well, I think the result is quite fine. And I just mentioned to Verwain, this is your first book. It's only been out for a couple of days now. But you've also got a story in an anthology, is that right?
Yes, yes. It
well,
is,
do tell.
There is a poem in the book that's in that anthology. It's called Phantom Jack. It's the book is called Words of Power. It's an anthology put together by Kevin Sparks.
Okay.
So is this Kevin Sparks, does he do this, is this like a yearly thing or?
I know Kevin actually has multiple books that come out in a year, but I don't know his exact schedule. This was one that I had just jumped on, and when I did, people got really excited about it, and I suppose you could also say that's one of the things that helped push me into publishing with you guys in the first place.
Cool.
Yeah, definitely.
All right.
All right.
We are talking to Stephen Skibicki, author of American Darkness. And Stephen, before we head off and wrap things up, you're a newly published author, but you've been writing for a while. Do you have any kind of advice you have for younger authors, people who are just getting into it, something you've learned that might help somebody else?
I absolutely do. Don't ever give up. You're going to have
like
this voice in the back of your head that says that what you wrote down is not any good. Don't listen to it. Throw it away. Keep doing what you're doing. I promise you, if you do that, you will naturally improve and you will reach a point that you'll be unstoppable.
I like that advice. You
Sound
can
advice.
Even move to Corpus Christi and that voice still follows you everywhere, doesn't it?
Yeah,
I have my father's voice.
All right, we're talking to author Stephen Skibicki. His new book is American Darkness. Now, Stephen, how do people find you out there if they want to contact you, follow you, get on social media with you, and what is the URL for your new website going to be?
All right, if you want to get out there and follow me and find me, you can definitely go to Twitter anytime. That's usually the space that I'm in. You can also find me on Instagram. You can find me on Threads, and you can also find me on Blue Sky. And not much changes from each one. On Twitter, it's at Skibicki Stephen. The new URL for the website is going to be www.skibickidarkness.com.
SkibickiDarkness.com. All right.
And listeners, we will let you know when that that site is up and running, which should be pretty soon. So, and before we head out, I'm going to run an ad on this. Just a reminder that we have a short story contest going right now. And we only found out recently that some people were having a problem uploading their stories to the website where you can go and tell us about your story and upload the file for it. We had that fixed. So if you were trying to upload it and it wouldn't take your file, go back over there and upload that file over there. And if you still have a problem with it, which you shouldn't, info@freshinkgroup.com. And, you know, you can send your stories there as well.
All right. So next week we're going to have a police officer in Texas who's written a book about his grandfather who became a fairly well-known medic during World War II. And that's Chris Langlois will be our guest next week. And who we got after that, Bean?
After that we have Christian rock band The Word 66. Lead singer and lead guitarist Scott Stevens will be joining us. And we'll be even playing one of the songs from the band. So check that out. And after that...
Oh, you mean I get to get up and dance during the show?
Woo-hoo!
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, after that, those of you who are regulars know that between Christmas and New Year's, we try to do an end-of-year show featuring just us and no guests. And we're going to recap a lot of things and make some predictions for the future and try to have a little bit of fun. And the entire system for Blog Talk Radio was down that day, so we did not get to do that show. So we have rescheduled that show for the end of this month. And that's who will be next after Scott Stevens from Word 66. It'll just be your two co-hosts talking about the year in review and seeing if we can have a little fun along the way. So watch for that episode as well. Check our newsletter and make sure you've marked your calendars. So thanks for being on the show, Stephen. Stephen Skibicki, author of American Darkness.
Stephen.
Well, thank you for having me.
All right. And we're going to play a commercial for Judy White Arts' Essence of Spiritual Awakening on the way out. And we'll see everybody next week.
See ya, everybody.
All right. Bye, Stephen.
Bye.
Our mistakes do not define us. All of our experiences and challenges, especially the most painful, serve a greater purpose. A lifelong journey of profound experiences and personal sacrifices led Judy White Arts to discover her destiny and connect with her true, authentic self. Judy shares her story and divine pearls of wisdom in this memoir that is equal parts inspiration, insight, and self-help. The Essence of Spiritual Awakening, Enlightenment, Inspiration, and Insights that Illuminate the Path to Divinely Guided Wisdom is beautifully illustrated with full-color photos and a journal in the back for recording your personal thoughts. Proudly published by Fresh Ink Group, Judy's book is available in jacketed hardcover, softcover, and all ebook formats. Discover your true authentic self through the essence of spiritual awakening as you journey toward your path to self-enlightenment.
Hey writers, got a short story looking for a prestigious anthology that will showcase your work alongside other top authors? Or maybe you've experienced a moment worth sharing, perhaps with some poignant meaning we could all appreciate. Fresh Ink Group is accepting submissions for our second and third volumes of the Fresh Ink Group Short Story Showcase to be released in hardcover, softcover, and all major ebook formats worldwide. There are no fees to enter. Winners are not only published, but are invited to become members with their own dashboard in the FreshInkGroup.com website. Head over to FreshInkGroup.com's Contests tab to learn more. Then grease up the old underwood and get those shorts down so you can get your entries in sooner than later. And you readers, discover 49 wondrous tales already released in the Fresh Ink Group Short Story Showcase No. 1, available now in all formats worldwide.
You're listening to The Voice of Indy.
You've been a part of Voice of Indy, a production of Fresh Ink Group. Spread the word, support our guests, then find us at freshinkgroup.com and be sure to hashtag Fresh Ink Group.